Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, March 28th. A rare fish found in the Colorado River is no longer on the brink of extinction. Luke Runyon has more.
Since the 1960s, the humpback chub has been listed as endangered. It's olive-colored with a long snout that hangs over its mouth, making it look kind of grumpy. Tom Chart is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
They're long-lived critters. They live to 30 to 40 years.
The fish thrive in raging, turbulent stretches of the Colorado River, but dams have destroyed much of that habitat. Chart says efforts to better manage dams and kill non-native fish have led to their comeback.
What we're trying to do is provide and preserve some semblance of a healthy river ecosystem out there. And these fish are really critical. They're the canaries in the coal mine.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is now recommending that the humpback chub be reclassified from endangered to threatened. I'm Luke Runyon.
Not only do local yucca plants provide an edible fruit, the fibers can be used as cord, the thorns as needles, and the roots as shampoo. As part of our ongoing Western Slope resource reporting, KDNK's Raleigh Burley visited the Ute Learning Garden in Grand Junction to learn more about the traditional applications of local plants.
In Colorado, we rely on countless plants as foreign to the area as our ancestors. Before our time, the Ute peoples roamed these mesas and fertile valleys, gathering their sustenance and materials from indigenous plants that have lost significance as the Utes, carriers of this knowledge, have been separated from their land. On the edge of the Mesa County Fairgrounds is a living laboratory, honoring the ancestral wisdom of the Ute people. The Ute Learning Garden, residing on 2.5 acres of land next to the Mesa County Fairgrounds, is divided into four zones, each representing an ecosystem within the seasonal migratory route that Ute families traversed for over 1,000 years. In February, the Bureau of Land Management in Colorado awarded the Grand Junction Ethnobotany Team the Heritage Hero Award for bringing Ute tribal leaders and youth to their ancestral lands to share knowledge and traditional plant uses.
My name is Mike Calabro, and I'm a volunteer with the CSU Extension Office. Ready to go into the garden?
Mike Calabro, my guide to the garden, explains that to the Utes living on the Uintah and Uray Reservation in northeastern Utah, this is the old country of nostalgic reminiscing, in much the same way that Sicily is the old country to Mike's Italian ancestors.
This is a pinyon pine tree, and you've probably got a lot of them around your place.
We begin our tour in the pinyon juniper zone, historically a springtime destination for Ute families.
Now these trees are still a little bit too young, but when it gets to about 100 years old, they'll start getting a good crop of pinyon nuts, and they'll keep growing for 700 or 800 or 900 years.
Wow, it takes 100 years before they produce pinyon nuts?
A good supply of pinyon nuts. They'll provide some, but not a lot. It's also very high-calorie food. A pound of pinyon nuts will have 3,000 calories. That's similar to a pound of steak.
So here's another interesting plant right here. And you probably know this, it's Mormon tea. Mm-hmm. And
Mike shows me the Mormon tea, brewed for kidney and bladder disorders.
And I understand it tastes pretty awful, but if you add enough lemon juice to it and some sugar, it's not bad, you know? Mm-hmm.
The rose is a really good plant because rose hips
the woods rose, producing a fruit high in vitamin C, medicinal roots, and strong branches for making arrows.
And then they would just pull this branch through that hole and it would strip off all the branches and all the thorns off of that, and then they would have their arrow shaft. Gamble's oak is great because it produces an acorn, and the acorn is a good food source, not only for just eating the nuts, but also for mashing it up and making it into a flour. The powder on the
in the aspen
tree,
zone, Mike demonstrates using white powder from the bark of an aspen tree as sunscreen.
This is what they use for sunscreen. In the springtime, you're going to have cattails hanging off of these, and some groups will eat those. Now, I'm not saying you should eat them, because now we're putting a lot of pesticides on stuff.
In the desert zone of colder months, Mike shows me the four-winged salt bush.
It's salt bush because when it gets leaves on it, then you might be able to taste. They'll be salty.
Next,
the yucca plant. And this plant is really interesting because of this really tough thread. the Indians would make their moccasins and their leggings. They would weave this together. But the other part of this plant is the roots of this plant have saponin, and when you take saponin and add it to water, you get soap suds, and that becomes their shampoo. Now the other thing is it's going to get a stalk in the center here, and that stalk is edible just like an asparagus. It's going to get a flower on it, and that flower is going to produce a fruit, and that fruit is edible. So these are a couple of cool plants right here.
This project, conceived in 2009, is a collaboration between Colorado State University Extension, Northern Utes of the Uintah and Ouray Reservation, and the BLM. It serves to connect current residents of Colorado, as well as Ute descendants, to the ancestral history of this land. For KDNK News and Western Slope Resource Reporting, I'm Raleigh Burley.
Making the gender on your birth certificate match your identity in Colorado could become a lot easier. Or not. Eric Gladys explains.
A new law that would bring Colorado up to date with federal policies for changing a person's gender on their birth certificate won bipartisan support to clear the state house, and proponents are pulling out all stops after the bill was assigned to the Senate's Kill Committee. Daniel Ramos with the group One Colorado says eliminating barriers for changing gender is important because when someone's identity doesn't match what's listed on their birth certificate, it can lead to discrimination.
It's important for transgender people to also have the freedom to live their lives, to be treated with dignity and respect, to be able to access employment, housing, and access to businesses and other services just like everybody else.
Ramos says the current policy is unnecessarily burdensome and a violation of privacy. Under Colorado law, people must undergo surgery and then make their case before a judge in order to win a court order allowing the change. The Birth Certificate Modernization Act would only require a letter from a health professional. Opponents of the bill warn it could encourage fraud or allow people to get out of criminal or credit history. Ramos points out that the U.S. Passport Office and Social Security Administration follow the same procedures proposed in HB 1046, and he argues that concerns about fraud are unfounded.
With criminal and credit history, that is tracked by Social Security number, not birth name, and so the Social Security number, regardless of the gender, would still stay the same.
Similar measures have died in the past three legislative sessions. The Colorado Senate's State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee is scheduled to hear the bill today. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.